Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Time now, we're going to hop on over to the fan hotline. We're going to bring in a super friend to the show. You know him and love him. He is Tom Withers. It's not news until Tom Withers says so. Hello, Tom. How are you?
This is like the old days. I'm sitting in the bleachers in Berea watching the Browns and on the radio with you guys. I feel like it's yesteryear.
It is. It's you're going back in time. Maybe you're walking backwards on the treadmill.
Yeah, how are you guys?
We are good.
Well, buddy.
I know you're sitting at Browns right now, but I got to ask you about the Guardians right now. We're talking when Hammy ended the broadcast last night by saying they are on the verge of history here by becoming the first team to ever come back from 15 and a half back to win,
incredible,
to have a chance to win either the pennant or their division. I can't believe it. Just give me your general overall take on the Guardians right now, because this is a fantastic story.
It really is, you know, and it's been a kind of a slow burn here. I mean, we've all kind of watched this, you know, take place over the last 2 to 3 months. I think people have lost track of the fact that, you know, they're 41-23 since they had that 10-game slide, which is one of the first times that everybody, you know, buried them and threw dirt on them and they rose again. So, yeah, it's been an incredible story. I'll be honest with you guys. You know, I thought this team, based on last year, was good enough to, if not win the division, then certainly contend for a wild card, and that's what they're doing. I didn't think the path to 81 wins or whatever it is now would be what it is, and considering what they've had to go through and the resiliency they've shown, and just, I mean, even the resiliency in the last week, and when you think about the production they're getting from guys that we didn't even talk about, you know, 2 weeks ago, let alone 2 months ago, it really is a fabulous story. And obviously, you know, Ramirez and Kwan have set the tone. You know, they're finally getting guys at the bottom of the order to be productive. And you cannot say enough about this pitching staff, beginning with Tanner Bibee and Gavin Williams, who over the last few starts have clearly shown that they're both capable of being the ace of this staff. And before we get too deep here, you got to give a lot of credit to Stephen Vogt for navigating this team through, you know, losing its all-star closer. Oh, by the way, arguably one of the, you know, the best closer in baseball, and one of their starting pitchers. And for them to still be in the thick of it and then some with a week to go in the season is just, it's borderline miraculous.
It has been amazing how exactly what you said, Stephen Vogt has kept this clubhouse together. And more than anything, this six-man rotation has turned into a game changer for them. I mean,
it really has.
I can't see Terry Francona doing that to save my soul. And Stephen Vogt was like, you know what? Let's do this six-man rotation. Joey Cantillo, come up here. Parker Messick, let's keep them all up here. And that way everyone's rested as we roll.
Well, that's a great point, Dan. And you know what? And it's not dissimilar. Well, it's comparable, but not exactly the same as to what AJ Hinch did last year with Detroit with the pitching chaos, right? I mean, there's different ways to skin a cat. And Stephen has just found a way here to keep guys fresh. You know, he's been able to get, you know, 5 and 6 innings out of most of his starters, and this bullpen has been incredible. I mean, when you think about the fact that they're leaning on Matt Festa and Jacob Junis, and, you know, Allard comes out of the bullpen last night after not pitching in 2 weeks and gets 3 of the biggest outs of the season. You know, never mind, you know, Tim Herron coming back after, you know, an awful performance last week and striking out the side the other night. So, yeah, Vogt, you know, obviously with the help of Carl Willis, who is as good as there is in baseball, have done a magnificent job of keeping this pitching staff fresh. You know, guys have stepped up, which they needed to have happen once Cossey went down. You know, Cade Smith has had, you know, some rough moments, but he's been really good over the last 2 or 3 weeks. And, you know, you mix in your Hunter Gaddises and what have you here and there. But I'll go back to what I said earlier. to me, the way Bybee has stepped up here over his last three starts, and, you know, it's funny that it basically happened right after that little blow up in the dugout, which, again, Stephen Vogt handled very well, right? I mean, he told him, hey, not now, not here. I mean, you can be as frustrated as you want, but you don't do it here in front of your teammates, et cetera. And since then, like, it feels like Tanner Bybee has really kind of turned the page on that. And for him to go out yesterday and go pitch for pitch with Scoble for six innings was super impressive. I can't say enough about the kid.
Tom, I know it's just kind of looking into a crystal ball. I don't know if the – I look at it and I try to figure it out. What path do you think is easier, the wild card where you're 1.5 back or
just
trying
win,
to
baby.
Win the – yeah, I know. I know it's just win, but – yeah, don't tell me you're not looking at the standings going, I wonder if there's a way to figure this out.
No, I'll be honest with you, Andy, I haven't. Because, and I think that's the, and I'll be honest with you, I think that's the what they've adopted and really embraced in that clubhouse is that, hey, let's just go out today and win today, and the standings are going to shake out how they shake out. I mean, and the other thing that's crazy, guys, and I'm sure you've talked about this, is that the American League is wide open. I mean, when you think about who you consider to be the power teams in the American League, they've all had their struggles this year. I mean, the Tigers have come back to the pack, and they clearly play like a different team when they're playing the Guardians. You know, the Yankees have been up and down. The Red Sox are skidding right now. You know, it seems like the first place in the AL West changes on an almost daily basis. So it is completely wide open. This team has played essentially playoff baseball since the beginning of September. They're 13-4. They're playing their best ball right now, which is what you want to do as a team. And listen, I also think the front office deserves a lot of credit. Now, listen, we can criticize them for not doing more in the offseason, and I think that's legitimate. But they believed in this group. They believed in the chemistry. They believed in Vogt. They believed in what they had last year in a 92-70 team that got within a couple of wins of the World Series, and they stuck with it, and it's paid off. And so I think, you know, tip of the cap to them as well.
Tom Withers joining us, Associated Press Emeritus. You can now read him at brownzone.com as well, and, of course, hear him on 92.3 The Fan sporadically.
Yeah, there you go.
I get you covered, man. We got to get all the plugs in. You know, that's how this goes. The crazy thing, too, Tom, and crazy is the wrong word, but probably the best thing that's also come out of this season has been Kyle Manzardo. How impressed are you with how he's been able to take a step forward?
Yeah, you know, it's been nice to see him in the lineup on a more regular basis, right? You know, I thought it was tough the other night, though. He strikes out twice, I believe, with the bases loaded when they were in spots where they needed somebody to come through. And fortunately, you know, Bo Naylor comes through with that double late in the game to pick up some insurance runs. But Manzardo's been great. I mean, he's been, you know, he's not hitting to the average that I think he's capable of. But, you know, he gives them that pop. He gives them that pop in the lineup that's been sorely missed. You know, I think another thing, in addition to Manzardo, you know, they get a big home run out of Big Christmas yesterday, who's basically done damn near nothing all year, but he comes up in a huge spot. And then I think the way David Fry has kind of been able to kind of find a little bit of a groove, I think people have underestimated the fact that he had, you know, coming off the elbow surgery, no spring training, you know, intermittent at bats at best. But again, I'll go back to Stephen Vogt and his belief in his guys and his trust in his guys and his, you know, sticking with guys when they're going bad, sticking with Rocchio when he's going bad, sticking with Arias when, you know, he looks like he's going to strike out every other at bat. So in addition to Manzardo, I just think the contributions from all those role players has just been instrumental in them doing what they're doing right now.
All right, Tom, last question on baseball. Are they, you think they make it or they don't? What do you think?
I think they make it. I think they sneak in. It feels like that's the story that's supposed to happen. I think they're going to sneak in as the last wild card. You know, it's been interesting. My son and I have been talking about this over the last couple of weeks. That as you get deeper into this year, teams have kind of eliminated themselves, right? They basically took the Royals out last week, right? And I think this weekend there could be a situation where maybe another one of the wild card teams drops down. It's going to be fascinating to scoreboard watch over the next few days, guys. And, you know, this is a huge – I mean, every game is huge, but – you know, four games in Minnesota. You know, the doubleheader tomorrow is really interesting. I think they're going to find a way, Andy. It just feels like that's what's supposed to happen with this team. That, you know, given all that they've been up against, that they're going to overcome it. And I've always said, you know, and obviously the Cavs took care of the drought, right? But I always felt that the team that was going to end the World Series drought for the Guardians was going to come out of nowhere. It wasn't going to be the predicted team that went, you know, that won 95 games and bludgeoned people. It's going to be the team that figures out a way to play its best ball when it matters most. And that's what this team is doing right now.
Huh. All right, my golden rule is I don't start scoreboard watching until after the Guardians game ends. That's been the rule my last 2 weeks. That's all. I'll keep doing that, too. All right, let's talk Browns here for a minute.
Sanity.
All right, you're sitting at Browns right now. How's everybody look? Is anybody actually standing in front of you, or are you watching grass grow?
Oh, well, we've been kicked out. So
lasted
only 10 minutes. Fridays are getting even worse. I tell you what, they are figuring out a way to really keep the media, completely at arm's length, if not more. I mean, it's gotten worse.
Is it
bad?
Like, why? Like, what are they trying to hide right now? I don't get it.
It's not necessarily hiding things. It's just the amount of access we have just becomes more and more limited. The locker room time has been shortened, much more difficult. And I prided myself on this when I was full time with the AP and trying to connect with guys and getting to know them a little bit. And that's really hard to do. You know, it's hard to sidle over to somebody and have a conversation anymore in the NFL with any of the players. You know, I'm lucky that I've run into a couple of them just out, you know, shopping at Crocker Park or whatever, where I can actually make a connection, because otherwise it's really hard to do. And the NFL is structured that way, you know, which is why, you know, covering baseball is such a joy, because there are 162 games and you do get a chance to kind of get to know these people on a more personal level. So, you know, I really couldn't see much out here. You know, they're basically stretching and going through the early parts of the workout. We're going to get Kevin Stefanski here at 1:00. We'll get an update, you know, hopefully on game status for Jack Conklin. Joel Bitonio has been rested this week with the back, which doesn't really alarm me, except that Joel is typically out there at least on Thursday and wasn't this week. So, a couple things to keep an eye on in terms of injuries that we'll find out about in the next hour.
Tom, would you make a quarterback move, let's say, after this week, like a lot of people are, you know, fans are starting to kind of clamor for, or are you waiting a little bit farther down the road to make any kind of move at quarterback?
A lot of layers to that. I see where you're coming from, Dan. You know, I think it would depend a lot too on how the rest of the unit plays, right? I think Judkins showed a little bit last week. I think we're going to see some more of him on Sunday. You know, is the offensive line, you know, is it healthy? Is DeJuan Jones able to stay out there as your left tackle? Here's the other thing. This crazy guys, and I have to tell you, if they were 1-1, we would hardly even be having that conversation, would we?
Totally agree. They're one field goal or one safety away from not having this conversation.
The margin for error in this league is just incredible, and how razor thin it all is. And so, you know, Dan, I think I will say this. I did feel like after watching Flacco on Sunday, and listen, I think we also forget that they were up against, you know, arguably one of the five best teams in the NFL, and then obviously they're going to play one of the five best teams in the NFL on this Sunday. So there are no breaks in the schedule. And I think that's what everybody kind of pinned this on was, hey, the schedule's so tough over the first 6 weeks, you can't do that to a rookie quarterback. Well, you also can't do it to your locker room if you're putting a quarterback out there who is unable to, you know, give you any mobility or run the offense like you would hope it would work. So I think, Dan, it depends on how things look on Sunday. Like, I think it's closer than we thought in terms of making the switch. And I think also because of the way Gabriel has been able to, you know, handle everything they've thrown at him. And that's not to say that Shador hasn't as well. So I think there is a more of a comfort now in making that potential switch than there was a couple of weeks ago.
How do they beat the Packers? Like, what do they need to do here?
They beat them the same way I think that they tried to beat the Bengals, which is control the clock, hopefully make your field goals, hopefully get a play on special teams that's going to help you instead of hurt you. I mean, think about all the things that went wrong against Baltimore. And listen, I have no illusions that they were going to go down to Baltimore and win, but that was a more competitive game, I think, than people gave credit for. I mean, when you take into account the block punt, the return fumble, I mean, there were a couple plays, you know, disastrous plays that went against them. I think they win it by trying to be physical. I think, you know, if anybody watched the Miami game last night in Buffalo, nobody gave the Dolphins a chance. Dolphins were in that game until the final whistle last night. I mean, they really, you know, they executed. They ran the ball. I think if the Browns can come out, run the ball a little bit, you know, get Flacco in positive situations instead of, you know, 3rd and 12 and 2nd and 9, they can hang around. And then, and listen, the NFL is the one league where you know, something shocks you every week. So I'm not saying the Browns are going to go out necessarily and win on Sunday, but I think they can play with them. I don't see any reason why they can't, especially given the way this defense has played over the first couple of weeks.
every year, Tom, there is a game that you're supposed to lose that you win, and there's a game that you're supposed to win that you lose.
Yeah.
That's how I look at this. I can see the script as well of how to do this. Do you have any offensive line concerns? I know you brought up Joel Bitonio not being out there, but some of the play that you've seen out of DeJuan Jones or even Jack Conklin's injuries and the backups of coming in.
Yeah, small sample size, but yeah, I do, Dan, only because going into the season, I felt that very same way. I was like, okay, this is an experienced, we'll call it aged offensive line, right? And some terrific players. Don't get me wrong. Your guards and your center are terrific players. Conklin, when healthy, is as good as it gets at right tackle, in my mind, at least in the AFC. And Jones is a project, and he's continuing to be a project. I've been worried about their depth there, and I really feel like they haven't done a great job in the last couple of years of filling in the gaps below them. I know they took Zach Zinter last year. He hasn't had a lot of playing time, so it's really hard to make an assessment on him. But, yeah, I am concerned about the offensive line, especially when you have a 40-year-old quarterback who's got limited mobility behind it. And so, it is a concern, and it will be going forward until they fix it.
Thing that's impressed you the most outside of Myles Garrett about the Browns?
To this point?
Mm-hmm.
I think the thing that's been maybe underplayed, and I get it, has been the contributions of these rookies. I mentioned Judkins before, and we've only seen him once, right?
Right.
Samson had a nice opener. I think Mason Graham is showing that he is a legitimate pick. Can't say enough about Carson Schlesinger and being thrown into the middle linebacking role as a rookie and having to contribute and showing no signs of being a rookie to this point, right? I mean, I think he's played really well. So I think this draft class has impressed me to this point. And I think the play, obviously, along with Myles Garrett, and obviously he ties into this, the defensive line is really good, Andy. The defensive line has a chance to keep them in ball games. You just got to worry about, obviously health and obviously just, wearing down in games depending on who you're playing and how long they possess the ball, things like that. So those have been the things that have stood out to me so far. There hasn't been a lot. I mean, again, one-on-one, we're having a different conversation, and I thought there were so many positives in that Week one loss that got swept under the rug only because they lost the game. So I still think there's some things to hold on to. I know people have, there's no illusions that this team is going to the playoffs by any means, but I think there's a chance for them to be competitive and then some going forward.
Tom Withers, as always, it's not news until Tom Withers says so. Thank you so much, my friend. How are you? And everything is good. I should say it's good to talk to you, and I always appreciate it. Thanks, man.
Love talking to you guys. Take care. Have a good one.
There, talk soon.
Take care.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. PNC's apply, in app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Thanks. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Jeff is off. You'll be able to hear him on the halftime and postgame show coming up on the Browns Radio Network. That is Sunday when the Browns take on the Packers. I'm assuming that game is at 1 o'clock because all games are 1 o'clock.
That is correct. That game will be 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock. I just want to make sure all know. It's either 1 o'clock or 1 o'clock.
Well, there's a couple 4 o'clocks in there, too.
Yeah, I know, but that's only
when you go to Vegas.
Yeah, I think we have a 4 o'clock home game, don't we? We have one. Off the top of my head, I got to look at the schedule. I thought we had one. Like Baltimore?
Yes, it's a 4:25 at Baltimore. Or here for Baltimore, November 16th.
The Baltimore game is at 4:25 here. So, every once in a while, I remember, oh yeah, that's great. So you, sleep in, maybe go have breakfast after you go to church or something in the morning or something like that. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. That is the number to call in. What did we get out of our little conversation with Tom Withers? What'd you think?
optimism.
There's a lot of different optimism. Ways to go with it. You know, you can go Guardians, you can go Browns. Either way.
I walk out with optimism. I walk out with both with optimism.
Hmm.
I walk out of a Browns situation kind of backing up what my eyes are telling me as well, which is that there are a lot of things that can be cleaned up when it comes to this team. But Tom Withers, hey, they're not as bad as the 0-2 looks. And sure, that Ravens game went poorer than we thought, but they're not as bad as an 0-2 team that you would expect. Optimism.
Do you want to know what the Browns won the last 2 weeks?
Like what do you won?
Yeah, they did win. They won something the last 2 weeks.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Time of possession. 35-49 against the Bengals, which totally makes sense, right? And then last week against Baltimore, 31-49. Interesting, 49 on both.
A ton of three and outs. They force a lot of three and outs. That defense is good. I know. Surprising.
I read
hashtag
a stat.
Analysis by
if you hang on to the ball more than 35 minutes, your odds of winning. I read two different stats. One said you have an 85% chance of winning a game. The other said if you hold it between 35 and 37, you have a 60% chance, which didn't make sense to me. But whatever it is, well, if you're holding the ball for more than the other team is, odds are you're winning.
It tells you one of two things. It either tells you, A, you give up a boatload of explosive plays because that, you know, goes against time of possession when the other team is scoring very quickly.
Right.
Or B, your offense may hold the ball for a decent amount of time, and but they're throwing turnovers, and there's turnovers all over the place. Option B sounds a little bit better, but you know, Jim Schwartz in the past has been known to give up some big play touchdowns from time to time.
All right, let's go to Hudson real quick. Patrick's in Hudson. Hi, Patrick.
What's up, Patrick?
Hey, guys. What's going on? Dan, man, we got to get you to your own show. Awesome to hear you.
Oh, thank you, buddy. I appreciate the kind words. AB's awesome, too.
It's all right. He's got his own show today. Jeff's not here, so he's good.
No, but Dan, you took the words right out of my mouth when Andy was just giving his stats. You know, we won week one and week two, time of possession and total yards, but we're also losing the turnover battle.
Right.
And that's your answer right there. If you're losing turnover battle, 99% of the time you're always going to lose. Really quick, you guys were just talking about differences of how the Packers run their organization and how the Browns do. I look at organizations like the Packers, like the Patriots, like the Broncos. And unfortunately, what Browns fans don't want to hear, man, dude, they're patient. I think this is obviously going back, but I think John Elway didn't win a Super Bowl till his first 15 years in a league, right? So they show so much patience with these people, and they don't jump ship. I think the Patriots had a 10 or 12-year drought in between Super Bowls. You know, the Ravens had, I think, a 14-year drought in between Super Bowls. These teams don't blow it all up because a couple years they don't win, right?
Yep.
I think when the Eagles lost to the Buccaneers in the wild card 2 years ago, the sky was falling in Philly. They were going to fire Nick Sirianni, you thought. Is Jalen Hurts a franchise QB? Well, you know what? They didn't freak out, and they won the Super Bowl the next year. The thing we don't want to hear is Browns fans. It's all about patience, and we've been patient for 30-plus years, and unfortunately, we're going to have to be a little more patient to see the end result we want.
All right, Patrick, thank you. Appreciate the phone call. Yeah. Patience. We said that about the Packers. I think the more important part is the patience with a quarterback, that they're willing to let a quarterback grow, let him become successful, and then when they're successful, they bring in another quarterback. And maybe it causes animosity between the quarterbacks at the time, and they may not be best friends, but they're willing to watch.
I could rant and rave about it for hours.
It's like the Guardians with pitching, right?
Well,
they always seem to have somebody ready to come up as a pitcher, as a starter.
Yes.
Because they're planning ahead, and that's what the Packers do at quarterback.
But we're in the middle of it right now. You're hearing it from your fans right now as everybody's twitching and going, I want to see Dylan Gabriel. I need to see Shedeur Sanders. I need to, you know, this offense is horrible. It's got to be on the quarterback. We got to bench the quarterback and get them the hell out of here. Like, this guy's old. He sucks. Can't move. Like, you hear it every single day. What do the smart teams do? Well, they kind of let it play out for a good period of time before deciding to make those kind of decisions. It's not just a knee-jerk reaction. It's this, okay, what else is going awry that we can maybe fix to set this guy up better? What can we do? You know, do we need to tweak the offensive line? Is the fact that we've had an inability to run the ball until Quinshon Judkins showed up a little bit, maybe tweak this offensive line, and now all of a sudden you've got a run game that can help set up your quarterback so that those teams can't just sit back and put a dome on top of your offense? You know, there's so many things, but again, we sit here and slam the table and go, oh my God, it's the quarterback. The quarterback sucks. He's slow. Oh my God, the quarterback sucks. He's old. He can't process fast enough. Like, no, for an offense to succeed, there's a lot of parts that need to be there too. You need to have the receivers that can find their way open and catch the ball. You need to have an offensive line that can block, and you need to be able to run the ball. And right now, when the other three things are tanking, it's really hard to have your quarterback lift all those boats.
Mm-hmm. All right, we got about 1 minute left. Senior correspondent Ed sitting there waiting to talk quietly. Basically.
Ed.
I think it's senior correspondent Ed. Ed, is this you?
Yes, it is. How you doing?
Good. What's going on? It's not senior correspondent.
Hey, it's just regular Ed.
Couple quick things on baseball. I can't remember. Who's the Indians' guardian, pitching coach?
Carl Willis.
Yeah, how long has he been there?
He's had two stints. Right? He was here with Eric Wedge the first time. Then he went off to Seattle, I think, with Eric. Then he went somewhere else, and then he came back. Yeah.
And we always have great pitching with them.
Yeah.
Maybe he should be. I know he can't, but maybe he should be manager of the year. Because he's to run that pitching staff.
Big Train's the man.
You know, and getting them on. You know, the Indians are like guardians are always in like the playoff on. And the ownership sits on that. We're in the playoffs. That's not good enough after a while. You know, you get tired of just being in the playoffs.
Ed, thanks, man. Your phone line is as bad as maybe that phone call might have been towards the end there. I don't know. Is he saying not enough to get to the playoffs? Is that what he was saying at the end?
I
missed the end of it.
It was a rush, and then it was cutting out.
Yeah, so Ed, sorry about that. Maybe we can get you can get another phone line and call back in. Yeah, I get it.
4K pictures of Pluto. Can't get a decent phone line.
Isn't that crazy?
That's amazing.
It's amazing how that works. World. Tim May, super friend of the show, is going to join us next. It's Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show. Your way and on your time.
Fan. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Tim May, super friend of the show. Letterman Row, Tim May podcast. You know where he is right now. It's Friday, so we got to talk to him. We better get him on the line, and he is on the Fan hotline. Hi, Tim. How are you?
Pretty good, but I haven't been with Letterman Row for like 9 months. I was going to like do nothing. I was going to become fully retired after an Ohio State national championship season. And then I kind of got lured back into doing stuff. But I'm with FanStreamSports.com as a Tim May Show featuring Clay Hall. You remember Clay Hall?
Of course I know Clay Hall.
Yeah. We come on, we do three days a week, a podcast, man. And, of course, I still do 97.1 The Fan stuff, and I still do some stuff with your buddy Dom Tiberi. Matter of fact, I got Dom on my podcast today.
Uh-oh. How is he? Dom's good?
Pretty interesting. Pretty interesting, because Dom and I could do 48 hours and still do another 48.
For those of you up here in Cleveland, Dom is the legend of Columbus sports broadcasting, right?
Yeah.
There was Jimmy Crum for a long time, and then there was Dom.
Since you left.
Nah.
Don't short sell yourself.
Tim, think about, I'm going to digress for a second because I know I need to get in this, but think about how great that staff was, and how great your staff was over at the Dispatch when we were there. Yeah. It was, I was the number four horse. Jay Crawford was there, who's now in Cleveland again, was at ESPN for a long time.
Yep.
Mike Gleason, outstanding play-by-play guy who moved on to ESPN. Dom was there. Kirk Herbstreit started with us. Let's not forget any of these things. Who am I forgetting?
And you know what else? Who
Ryan
else
Miller.
Town, maybe just before that or right during the same time was Tom Hamilton worked for 97.1 The Fan as the second voice.
Isn't that crazy?
Second voice of the Clippers.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy to think about. He's in the Hall of Fame.
And both those guys ended up going to the to Major League Baseball after that, too. So.
I know.
This is the topic that I keep thinking about, and I've been thinking about it since the game ended last week against Ohio University, that the Buckeyes can have a week off, kind of take a look, and then get ready for Washington. Washington, on the other hand, has their biggest rival of the year. 117 years they've been playing Washington State. It's called the Apple Cup, and I think a lot of us might remember that it was the game that used to follow Ohio State Michigan that final weekend of the year. And now I'm just thinking, I keep thinking, man, what if they ever moved Ohio State and Michigan up to the fourth week of the season because they were worried about scheduling? And I know that's probably going to happen in the future, but that's been on my mind since the game ended last week. I'm like, man, Washington can't even think about Ohio State because they know they better beat Washington State.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but some of the great rivalries in college football are midseason, like Alabama-Tennessee. That goes back. That has more history, really, than Alabama-Auburn because Alabama-Auburn quit playing for 40 years because people were being unruly.
Ah.
that was way back when. But, you know, Texas-Oklahoma, the idea that that would ever go anywhere is pretty nuts. And, of course, Georgia – Georgia, Florida, the world's largest cocktail party, even though you don't say that anymore because it offends somebody. Just like the Red River Shootout offends somebody. But yeah, I mean, there are great rivalries in the midst of college football season, much less at the end. I mean, the reason the rivalries at the end, I think, became large is because they were the last game of the year for almost everybody. Especially if you lost it, you know what I mean. Ohio State, Michigan. If you didn't win the Big Ten, you didn't just not go to the bowl. You didn't just not go to the Rose Bowl. You didn't go anywhere.
You were done. Game over.
You were done.
Yeah.
And even you could win it. And way back in the day, you couldn't go to the Rose Bowl 2 years in a row. Remember those Big Ten rules? And you remember the year in '61 when Ohio State had that great team that I forgot who voted them number one. They count as a national championship, but I'm a longtime Alabama fan from way back, and that was Bear Bryant's first national championship at Alabama, but I digress. But the bottom line is the faculty or whatever voted for the team not to go to the Rose Bowl. Are you kidding? Can you imagine that? Any scenario close to that now on any major college campus that plays football?
Absolutely. Someone who doesn't appreciates good sunsets. That's what that's all about.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, it's just somebody who thinks the tail is wagging the dog, and they want the dog back in the kennel. That's exactly what it was.
Well,
they
played.
They want the tail back in the kennel. I guess that's what it was. Woody was getting too big for his britches. You know, things like that. Don't ever discount the power of jealousy.
I'm done. Show over. I'm smarter. That
is
now a drop
statement on this earth.
Congratulations, you just became a drop on the show.
I never heard that before either, but I didn't think it was that ironic. But go ahead.
That is the most truthful statement that has been said on these airwaves in a good period of time, my friend.
There have been a lot of murders over jealousy.
Yeah, no kidding. Tim May joining us. You can hear him on the Tim May podcast, of course. NCAA announced they are. What'd you say?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go.
You could just go on and on about what's been started over jealousy. Go ahead now. I'm sorry.
You're kidding, man. Tim May podcast, you get him. All right, buddy. They got rid of the spring transfer portal. What do you think?
Well, I'm kind of in Ryan Day's boat in the sense that you got to make it fair for everybody. And, this is the voice I expect them to have. Well, you know, if you're playing for the national championship or playing in the semifinals, I mean, you're already good. You don't need any help. I mean, you can just deal with the challenge of having a transfer portal in the middle of getting ready to play Texas or Georgia, and your staff will cope. Just add five more people to your staff and cope with it, you know. But also, you know, the players that want to leave your team, just let them leave. You're so deep. So I agree with Ryan Day's point is that
that voice needs its own podcast, by the way.
That's a podcast in itself.
Well, if you listen to call-in shows, you hear it every damn day.
Oh,
you know,
trust me, we do.
but I digress because I'm not. I mean, I think most fans who just listen and occasionally make it a comment are more like us. They're more sensible, probably like us, more handsome, or pretty, you know, depending on whatever. And the bottom line is, but there are some that do talk like that, you know. But the bottom line is the transfer portal is not going away. They had to do it. That was one of their many ways of trying to ward off making these guys employees, making them sign contracts, although they sign a facsimile of a contract now with the revenue sharing thing going on now. You sign a little paper saying how much you're going to make that year from the revenue sharing aspect, not the NIL, but the revenue sharing aspect at these major colleges, how much you're going to make compared to, you know, and all these guys aren't making the same, you know. They're, well, as you well know, I think we've been down that road before on this show, but, you know, let's say X receiver is making $200,000 a year from revenue sharing, and maybe Y receiver, and I'm not talking about split end and tight end, but Y receiver is making like $50,000, you know, because everybody's not equal, even on the in college football. I mean, I know Matt Patricia coming into Ohio State, one of the bonuses, one of the many bonuses of hiring Matt Patricia was he was a head coach for, you know, what was it, a couple of years at Detroit. Things didn't go well there, but he was also GM or assistant GM, whatever it was, and he knew how to deal with salary caps and who got what for what reason, and really helped, as Mark Pantone said, really helped Ohio State deal with the new era of revenue sharing. But the bottom line is, how do you know who's even coming back all the way until your season is done? We know Devin Brown announced he was going into the transfer portal last year in December, but stayed with Ohio State for the last three games, the quarterfinal, semifinal, and final. But not everybody does that. We, you know, Bo Previa was at Penn State, and I don't know if he was told to take a hike, you know, and he ended up at Missouri. I don't know if he was told to take a hike, but he wasn't, I don't think, with Penn State when they played Notre Dame, you know, in what was that, the quarterfinal or semifinal.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's unwieldy any time of the year. I think the best time is after spring ball. But if you're going to transfer somewhere, that team would rather have you there in January than in May. So they're all the college calendar has always been screwed up. The main thing about the college calendar that's screwed up is it goes to the middle of January playing games. I mean, now you've got a playoff system, and why the college football season, they can't figure out how to get it done by January 1 is still a mystery to me, because January 1 has always been the, for want of another term, magical date when it comes to postseason college football.
It used to feel that way. Yeah, I agree with you. All right, Tim, we got to roll. You know, we love you. Talking next week. Next week, you're going to answer the question, Bo Jackson, start or not? Answer that question next week. Got it?
You got it, but he's going to play a lot no matter what.
I know.
Put that down. Put that down as my answer for this week.
You got it, and we've been talking about it for months between me and you on this show as well, too. So
yes,
thank you.
Have.
Thank you, Tim.
See you, brothers.
Bye.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show. Your way and on your time.